Muy buenos días. Feliz Navidad a todos. Praise the Lord. So good to be in the house of the Lord today. It's always a good time to be in the house of the Lord. We rejoice. You know that there's somebody in this face of the world, all around the world, who is praising God right now. And we're going to join them right now. We're going to praise the Lord, and we're excited about that today. We have our mission emphases, so we got some special guests today, all the way down from Warner Robins, Georgia. So we're excited that they're here today. And just want to, if you are first time, second time guest, there is in your bulletin, there's a care card that you can fill out for us. We'd love to have information. And so we're excited that you're here today, and we are going to praise the Lord. My hermano Jack is going to come. All right. Okay.
All right. It's a busy week again. Talk about last week, how much we got going on. Please go to the announcements. Did scroll through this morning. So this week, a lot of new emphasis today. We got the boys are in the house.
The boys are in the house. Amen.
Oh, is that better? Okay, sorry. Cindy told me to slow down. Lisa tells me to get loud. Any more else want to give me some input? Lottie Moon emphasis. Great week this week. $1,385 so far for Lottie Moon for our $5,000 offering. You received this morning, if you were in here long enough, these kids have don't gave you a bottle. That's what it's for. Put it in your cup holder, put it on your bedside, wherever, drop your coins in there. 1st of January, bring it back. This will all go to Lottie Moon. And believe it or not, this is out the Hudson car. I'm going to go ahead and leave it up here. So do that. That'd be great. So that's the day. Next Sunday is brother. Next Saturday, I'm sorry, 8 o'clock, Brotherhood, Brother James, cooking his specialties, grits and eggs. Be there with us. And then Sunday is a Sunday of praise with song, praise team, cantata, and then Sunday night at the Methodist Church with the combined cantata. So let's get that happening. I think that's all I've got, Miss Lisa. Bring yourself on. Oh, yes, I guess I'll do the rest of my work here. Sorry. A verse for the day. Sorry. For us is a child is born. Along with me, please. To us a son is given, and the government will be on the shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9:6.
I think Mr. Jack needs to stay up here and sing our next song with us. Don't you think so? Yeah. All right, if you'll stand, sing hymn number 182, Go Tell It on the Mountain. Jesus Christ is born.
go to the mountain to tell your story. We ask you to give us the strength that we need, and give us the encouragement we need. As this time of year is, we are so focused on your child and your son and what he means to us, but there are others out there that are hurting. And Father, we just lift them up and we just pray for them and give us the opportunity to witness and minister to them. Father, as we go into this time this morning of praise and worship and hearing what the boys have to say, have an open heart and open minds. Bless them in all ways in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. We're going to sing hymn 184, Angels We Have Heard on High. Of any words that relate to hope that start with an H this week? If you remember last week us talking about it? Heaven. Heaven. We can hope for heaven. Humility. Mm-hmm. What about O? That was a hard one.
Offering.
Opportunity.
Offering.
P. Peace. Obadiah. Okay. Obadiah for the O. Huh? Holy Ghost.
Oh.
Humbleness. And the E?
Everlasting.
Everlasting. Encouragement. Eternal Father. Okay. This week's Advent word is joy. So next week I'll ask you if you can think of words that start with a J, O, and Y. That O again. And I bet Y is going to be difficult too, but we're going to try it. Put your mind to it. All right, if you'll stand, we're going to sing hymn 188. It came upon the midnight clear. Verses 1 and 4.
Touch their hearts of gold. every star we see and all the songs we sing of shepherds on a hillside of goodwill and peace. The lights on every tree and all the gifts we bring. In every part of Christmas, we'll see our King. For He is the light that shines from the star. And He is the shepherd watching over us all. And He is the peace that wise men still seek. A Savior born that we might live, He is the gift. Hope and joy and strength He offers all our days. Pure and perfect blessings all wrapped in His grace. And when the lights come down, the moments disappear. But He who gives us everything will still be here. For He is the light that shines from the star. He is our shepherd watching over us all. And He is the peace that wise men still seek. A Savior born that we might live, He is the gift. A Savior born that we might live, He is the gift.
That was wonderful. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We need her excitement. No Cuban coffee either. So good to be in the house of the Lord. What an honor, what a privilege it is to present our boys, Joshua and Jacob. Over the summer, they were able to go through SEN, IMB, and the BCM at Georgia Tech. And they were sent to Buenos Aires, you know. And so we are excited that they're going to come and share that experience with us today. We had talked with Ms. Jo about how, you know, we're going to have a kind of an emphasis on missions, and then it just came to the idea that we'll just invite them and come and share. So now that they're almost, I think they're finished school now, they're more relaxed, you know. So we're really excited that they're here today. You know, they are career missionaries. They go and just spend the rest of their lives in different countries. And then you have Journeyman, which is, you know, a two-year program. And then there's also what we call short-term missionaries. And this is exactly what they did over the summer. And so we're excited that they're here. And I'm going to ask them, I'm going to ask Joshua and Jacob to come. And they're going to be sharing a slide presentation and just what God's put in their heart this morning. So my sons,
Hey, it's a pleasure to be with you guys today. Been gone for a little while, but we're finally here. Before we start, I do want to pray, because there's no better place to start than in the presence of God and praying to Him. So let us pray. Lord, there's so much on our hearts, so many experiences, so many memories we could say today. But Lord, I'm praying that the things that leave our mouths come from the Holy Spirit. They come from a place that would edify your church, would build someone up this morning. Because the emphasis today is on mission, living on mission, being on mission, Lord. That we cannot be in relationship with you and not do these things, Lord, because you have commanded us to do so, to take your gospel, to share it, Lord. Because there are people that do not have it. There are people who are going to hell, and they just don't even know who Jesus is. But Lord, what a blessing that we know him. We know the person of Christ. He lives in us. And Lord, that is a thing to be shared. And I just pray for Jacob and myself as we speak today. In your name we pray. Amen. Okay, so as my dad said, short-term missions. So all these things he mentioned are done through the IMB, the International Mission Board. And our short-term mission opportunity was called Summer Sojourners. And it's for the whole summer, about 2 months. And Summer Sojourners is somewhere, they just send you somewhere in the Americas. We got sent to Argentina for 2 months. And I knew guys that went to Chile, to Brazil, other places. But we got sent to Argentina. And this is kind of a step-by-step of what happened, what we did, and what it looked like. So.
So before I get started on the where we exactly were, I want to emphasize like the reason why we went, and it's found in Matthew 28:18-20. It says, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the end of the age.'" So that is the reason why we went. Jesus commanded us to go and share the gospel, share life, share light to a very broken place. And not just sharing the gospel, but creating disciples. For it's one thing to just share the gospel, but it's another thing to stick with them, you know, to help them grow so that they can make disciples. So that's why we were there for 2 months, you know. It could have been 2 weeks to just share the gospel, but we were working with missionaries, and we had strategies to not only share the gospel, but get the lost plugged into different churches and different groups that are connected with Christ. And so that's what we were doing. It wasn't just sharing the gospel. It was just helping the ministry grow over there. So the there is in Argentina. It's a country in South America. Where we specifically were was in the dead, like the middle of like the capital, the most populated area, one of the most populated areas in South America, and we were in near the downtown. We were in a district called Palermo, which is very close to the downtown area, and it's kind of a bridgeway between the very rich downtown area where everything happens, where all the tourist places are, and the pretty impoverished outskirts of the city. So we were strategically put there. But more than just the bridge between the poor and the rich, we were also there because that's where most of the universities were at. So we were very focused on college students. We were kind of in an area where there was a lot of universities, and we were near where the missionaries that are already there, the lifelong missionaries, we were near them. So that we could plan and we can strategize with them, and we're in a close proximity. Yeah.
So the what? So Palermo, as Jacob just said, is like a district in the capital city of Argentina, which is Buenos Aires. And fun fact about Palermo, there's about 300,000 people there, but there are only two churches, evangelical churches. So there's two evangelical churches on this block for Fort Valley. Three basically. But can you imagine 300,000 people and only two evangelical churches? So that's why they sent us to this certain district, because there's not much of the gospel being shared over there. There is a shortage of it, really. And so when the IMB sends you to this location, they train you, and with a few things in mind. So it's called the missionary task. So the first step, there's six steps. The first step is entry. So you get in, you get familiar with the culture, familiar with the environment, how things work, things like that. The second step is, okay, now you've kind of have a feel for what it's like to live there. You start sharing the gospel with people, because, I mean, how would they know unless someone tells them, right? And so you start evangelizing. As Jacob says, it leads to discipleship. Disciples are made. Well, churches, it's not just a building. It's not just programs. It's people, right? So once you start evangelizing, people start accepting the gospel. I mean, that's the hope, right, to see people lives change. And so you get disciples, and disciples make churches. Churches need leaders to function and for other churches to start coming up. And so there's this leadership development component that happens. And then at the very end, we exit. So we're obviously not there anymore. Thank God we're in South Georgia again. But it's actually called exit to partnership. So when we left, like, I mean, what can a guy thousands of miles away do for them, right? Really nothing, unless like it's a text or something. And we're still in contact with some of the people in Argentina. But it's exit to partnership. So as Jacob said, we connected them with local churches. And they continue the work. So that's kind of the scope of everything we did. And they trained us for it, thankfully. And so the next part is like, how did that happen? What that actually looked like? And so we're going to be going through the non-believers, believers, universities, and churches we encountered. And we're going to start with the lost. So the lost. So these first two people, one of them is called William, the other one is called Fernando. They were guys we just met through the connections we had. So, as I said, entry, you get familiar with the people, you get familiar with the culture, and two of the guys we met, they're both named Mauro. I guess it's like here, people call John or Bill, I don't know. Like, it's just a very common name over there, Mauro. We got to know like six of them. And so they each had different friends, right? So these are college students. And first guy's name, Fernando, we met him at a bowling alley. And he just had questions about, like, what is heaven? What is hell? Like, what does that even look like? And the beauty of it is when we go, like, there's a timidness, right? Like, in our lives, when I'm talking about my friend at school or whatever, because they kind of know who I am and things like that. They know the way I live. But when a missionary goes, it's kind of a fresh start. And so for Fernando, it was kind of okay, this guy's coming from across the world, and he's giving up his time. He's away from family. He's doing all these things just to share the gospel. Like, I probably should listen to that. That's something to take note of. And so for Fernando, he had a bunch of questions, and we just sat down for like an hour, 2 hours, and just talked about the things he was wrestling with. He didn't make a profession of faith, but again, we always believe nothing's done in vain. There's always a seed planted, a seed watered, but God is the one that brings the growth, as they say in 1 Corinthians. And then William. Man, William is a guy who breaks my heart because he grew up Christian. His family claimed to be Christian, but they abused him physically, abused him mentally. And, man, he's so mad at God. He's so bittered. He has a hatred for God because people who claim to be Christian did those things. To claim to have a love of God and not show it. And I think that's a big lesson for us who are Christians, who profess it. Like, our actions should match that, right? And he's a situation of people that didn't really know what it meant to be a Christian, to be a disciple, to be a follower of God, to have a life change experience. And man, he was a guy I sat down with for like 5-6 hours, and he showed me his physical scars. He told me about the things that had happened to him. And I'm just sitting there. I mean, I grew up in a church. I grew up in a loving family. And I'm like, how do I relate to you, even though you're you're so broken? But right, we're all broken, right? We've all fallen short, and that's really the only avenue I could use of, like, we're all sinful. We've all fallen short, and people make mistakes. But God is always looking to redeem. So, again, didn't make a profession, but I did get a text message that he showed up to Bible study. So he's looking, and hopefully he finds it. So we're still praying for him. And then the next two, it's a guy named Kevin and a girl named Tamar. Kevin grew up Catholic, then got mixed in with the Jehovah's Witnesses. Tamar grew up in the church, doesn't go anymore. Kind of a similar story, but these two are not college students. So a thing about Buenos Aires is that it's a city where you can drive like 20, 30 minutes and still be in the city. It's that big. And we Ubered a lot because walking that distance is crazy. And in that time, we're like, 20, 30 minutes, I can have a pretty good conversation with someone in 20, 30 minutes. So what we began is like an Uber ministry. We're taking Ubers everywhere and telling people about the gospel. It's like, I mean, some people didn't want to talk, but we're paying for you to take us somewhere. We're going to take advantage of that. So we would have gospel conversations with these people. And Tamar, it's a crazy story. She started the conversation with us. She was like, oh, like, what do you guys listen to? And I was like, oh, I listen to Christian music. And she was like, no way, I listen to Christian music too, but it's kind of a thing of the past. Like, my dad was a pastor, and now I've kind of left the church, and I don't know what to do. And it was just a beautiful thing. It's like, just like, who would have thought God using an Uber ride? And it's just our willingness, right? It's like, God can use so many things that we don't even think of, but we're just not willing. And this is kind of showing the fruits of that. Because Kevin, as well, he kind of left Catholicism because he had a lot of questions and people would not use scripture to answer those questions. People would just kind of give their opinions and he wasn't buying that, right? And so we talked about it and then I used the scripture to answer some of his questions and he also said he was going to get in contact with our missionaries. So two people, just Uber rides, and God is faithful. So that's what we saw.
Yeah, and before I move on, I mean, I think it's important to know the environment we're going into, not just physically, but spiritually. A lot of these people, their grandparents were Catholic, and they have since left the faith just through the family, just moving away. So a lot of them kind of know the characters of the Bible because their grandparents would tell them the stories, but they hadn't really heard the gospel like that. Even though, like, on the maps and on statistics charts, you see that Argentina's a very Christian country, like a Christian country, but in reality, a lot of them have not heard the gospel because it has not been shared to them. So it was very important to go over there and shed light. But speaking of lights that are already there, we met a lot of believers, a lot of people that needed us to come for strength. I'm not saying that it was us, it was all God, but we were able to speak with them and help them grow in the short time we were there. And a couple of these people were Mauro, Miqueas, and Agustina. So Mauro is a 28-year-old college student who's studying psychology, and he is a believer. He was one of the first believers we met, and I think he's just a testament of how close you can become with someone in such a short time because of Jesus. We quickly met him in this thing called, we had an English club. And we met him there. The English club is a connection to the gospel. It's led by missionaries, and it's in the hopes of sharing the gospel with non-believers. But anyways, one of the people there was Baldo, and we met with him, and we ended up he ended up just being a light and a passageway into the community. He was sharing many things with us, and he would kind of just lead us around, not just the physical parts of Argentina, but also the cultural parts and how things roll, you know, how to drink mate, that type of thing. He was helping us every step of the way, and I think God sends people to help you in your mission. God sends you, and he provides along the way. Another one of those people is Miqueas. We saw him grow so much in such a short time. At first, he was kind of timid to share the gospel, as we'll later talk about. He ended up sharing the gospel later with people, and it was just amazing because he was a cultural, or he was raised in a Christian household, and he was very spiritual. You know, he played in the band, but he had never really shared the gospel with one of his friends. But God sending us, it was kind of just like assigned him to start sharing, and it was incredible because by the end, he was sharing the gospel with his classmates, the entire classrooms. And it was just incredible seeing Miqueas move that way. Another, it was Agustina, and she had a heart for mission. She was very active in the church. She was very active in sharing the gospel. And as I was like, I'll later talk about, she's a part of a church that emphasized sharing the gospel. It was just incredible. Just seeing her passion forever for God. And the next thing that we did was kind of the couple other people that we saw really grow. It was Sol, Abby, and Rebecca. So for starters, Sol, she was an 18-year-old, and she had just become a believer like 1 month before we arrived. So just think about that. She had become a believer 1 month before we arrived. But by the end of it, she was also sharing the gospel, and she was getting plugged into a church. So it was just incredible seeing how God can move so quickly in the life of others when we go, when we set our yes on the table. It was just incredible seeing her grow to the point where she was sharing the gospel just like a month after she had become a believer. It was just incredible seeing her grow. Another one was Abby and Rebecca, and they also were very timid. They were also very shy of sharing the gospel. But by the end, they were more comfortable, and they had become more spiritual, and they wanted more of God, you know. They were wanting to do Bible studies. And so I think it's just important to realize that, like, when we go, when we mobilize, that like, we're also strengthening the believers that are already there, because they were sitting idle, you know, they were just sitting by, but kind of just being a part of the mission kind of got them excited again for the gospel. And I think it's just incredible what God can do in the lives of believers already there, you know. I think it's a testament to all of us to kind of go out there and go share the gospel, because if we're still here, if our heart's still beating, God has a purpose and has a plan for us. I think we should step in line with the Spirit and see where He will lead us. So yeah. The next, moving on past individual believers, we met a lot of groups of believers that were also very interested in sharing the gospel. And one of them was the UTN at Abua. So Abua was one of the UTN is one of the colleges that are there. It's a school of engineering. Abua is basically their BCM. And it was just incredible seeing the believers already there. It was such a small group. It was just a Bible study. But by the end, we saw them inviting their friends, again, going into classrooms. We had evangelism trips over there, and we were bringing people to the Bible study. It was just incredible seeing believers already there and strengthening them in numbers, giving our insights in what they were reading. And I was really convicted because a lot of the leaders knew so much about the Bible, knew so deeply about the Bible that I just want and have yearned for that knowledge that they have. And they were just incredible leaders, and even though they're small and though they're on a campus that doesn't really like Christianity, they still keep pushing on, they still keep persevering, and I think it's just a testament to what God can do, much like with the apostles who took to the death their faith. I think they have that level of faith, that level of confidence in the gospel. Moving on is the Lugano Jóvenes, and they're a church group. It's the youth group of a church in a very poor district of Argentina, and man, they love sharing the gospel. They kind of got us like moving, kind of with different block parties, with different evangelism events. They were just incredible. Like, there were believers that were already there that had a fervor for the gospel. They say they go every Saturday to go share the gospel in the poor apartment complexes. And again, it's more convicting for me. I felt so convicted because every single week they're going to share the gospel, and they don't have much to give other than the gospel. So I was just convicted that, you know, live a comfortable life here, but I don't share the gospel. And then with an uncomfortable life, with not as good living conditions, still share the gospel and still hold on to the hope that they have in Jesus. And the next is Barrio Norte Jóvenes. So basically that's the youth group of a church, and they also were just in the downtown of the city, and they also just had a heart for evangelism and a heart for just community. I saw a strong community within them. They really formed bonds through Christ in that church, and again, it made me feel convicted, because sometimes I feel like I'm not as close with the church group, and then they would take bullets for each other, and it was just awesome seeing that. So yeah. So these are just a couple of pictures with the believers that are already there. It was more than just sharing the gospel with them. It was also having fun with them, living life with them, enjoying the freedom that Jesus gives. It was playing soccer. It was getting ice cream with them. It was having picnics, playing volleyball with them. It's more than just telling the gospel. It was living life with them, and I think that's the most important thing. For encouraging and strengthening believers and growing disciples is living life with them, you know, tending to their spiritual needs, but also helping them and enjoying them in the physical. I think it's just incredible to see how Jesus kind of guides that lie, that we can have fun together and that we can grow a close connection through Him. So yeah,
I do want to say that photo to the far right. You may not know, but I was freezing over there. The seasons are flipped, so it was winter over there. While you guys were dealing with the humidity here and the heat, I got thrown into a pool in freezing weather. So I just had to say that, because that photo does not do it justice. I was so cold. But hey, that's part of the fellowship, I'd say. So as Jacob said, there's a lot of universities. So in the municipal part of Buenos Aires, there's about 42 universities and about 500,000 university students. We spent most of our time in pretty much three universities, and it's not like here where you go to Georgia Tech, you go to Georgia, you go to Fort Valley State, and all the majors are together. There, the top photo in the middle, that's the School of Medicine, right? So that's just by itself in a part of the city. Then bottom right, that's a photo of like the design school. So that's in another part of the city. Photo to the left, that's a technology school. And so we'd go to these schools, try to share the gospel. Top right, we're playing a card game, and that's just sharing the gospel. That it leads to a gospel conversation. Top left, left photo, we're having a Bible study. Middle, we just went up to someone and said, hey, do you know who Jesus is? Like, you wanna have a conversation about that? Because over there, the Argentine border is very open. There's people from all over, Europe, Brazil, Bolivia, like coming to the universities, because school in Argentina or public school is free for everybody. So if you're considering going back or you want to go, book a trip to Argentina, it's free. And it's really cool because it's just a melting pot of people. People from all over the world, like different languages, different religions. Like I learned about a spiritism, so much spiritism. It's called Umbanda. It's like a mixture of Catholicism and spirits and Hinduism. It's just so much there. And you go to all these universities and you kind of find that. And the next slide is kind of more of that, of going to these universities, sharing the gospel with people, playing volleyball. They love volleyball. They really love volleyball. And that's also the law school. So those are kind of the big three. We went to the medicine school, the law school, and then the technology school. And they're huge. They're massive. So a lot of opportunities to share the gospel. And that's what we did.
So the church. So as you know, we went over there and we partnered with Lifelong Missionaries to not only just share the gospel, but strengthen believers already there and get a diagnosis of kind of the church and where it's at. So we went to around 10 churches with very, very different styles, very different backgrounds. And it was really cool kind of seeing the different styles that churches were laid in, kind of the different states and the health they were in. We saw the smallest church that was just getting by, just like a very small congregation. And then we saw like a mega church. And so what we'd do is we'd visit those churches. We would listen to them. We would see the congregation. We would meet with them. And then we would give the information and kind of like a report back to the missionaries, because it was not just about sharing the gospel with the lost, but strengthening the church already there. So now we connected we gave the missionaries kind of a state of where the church was at, and they could move from there and work with the church and improve on the ways that they see fit. So it was also cool just like seeing the different types of people, because you had like rich mega churches and like very small poor churches, and then big poor churches. You know, it was kind of a wide variety of different things, the different peoples. So it was more of also encouraging them, encouraging the youth, encouraging college students there to share the gospel as well and deepen their faith in Jesus. So yeah.
And we do want to give a special thanks to the IMB, because we went over there and they, like, all expenses were paid for, plane ticket, housing, food. They accounted for everything. When I heard I was going to Argentina, I was like, okay, I'm probably going to sleep on the floor somewhere in a small house. We get there, and the missionaries are like, all right, let's take you to your place. We go to this skyscraper. They put us up on, like, the 16th floor, really nice view. I was like, I this is not what I expected mission work to be like. It was a huge blessing. The IMB took very well care. They take care of their missionaries very well. We were able to do this through Georgia Baptist as well. So you guys give through the cooperative program, and that helps us, sends people like me, my brother, to foreign countries, share the gospel. And we do want to give thanks to Ms. Jo Hopkins and you guys as a whole for your prayers and support and really everything, because we couldn't have done this without you, really. And also the missionaries, thanking them. We're actually going to meet the missionaries again, like, next week. So it's a connection that that lasts. But yeah.
Yeah. Before we get off, I just want to encourage y'all to support missions, because that's what Jesus commands us to do. 28:19, to share the love, share the light, because the world, the outside world is not getting any better. The outside world is a very dark place. There's a lot of sin. There's a lot of depression. And there's, like, a lot of things going on. There's a lot of, it's just not a good state right now. And the world needs Jesus more than ever. And so I just encourage you to, if you can't leave, if you can't go across the world, I encourage you to do missions with your neighbors, to do missions with the people that you work with, to share the gospel with them, and to live life like Christ, and to encourage people, if you know people, to go across the world, to go on mission, because it's a very beautiful thing, and not only does God enrich the place that you go to through you, He also enriches your spiritual life through it, and I think it's an amazing thing that I would definitely recommend. So I encourage y'all to tell people that you know to go on mission, because it is truly a life-changing event.
Yeah, and that's basically our report. That was our summer, and you might be wondering, why did these two college-age kids just tell me about their summer? And that was the message. But I do want to tie this all back to Scripture, because Matthew 4 says, man doesn't live on bread alone, but on every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And, everything we do in our lives should tie back to Scripture in some way. So I do want to, tell you why we did this. So in Acts 14, if you have your Bible, I'd encourage you to go there. Acts 14, verse 24 through 28. So this is Paul, one of the greatest missionaries of our time. He's a hero of the faith, right? This is his first missionary journey. He's gone around Macedonia, gone around the known world, and just shared the gospel. And he has been sent by this church in Antioch. There's so many Antiochs in the Bible. This Antioch in Syria. And at the end of his journey with Barnabas, they go back to the church that sent them, right? And so that's kind of why we're doing this. But let me read it just so we get a clear picture. So it says, then they passed through Pisidia and came to Pamphylia. And when they had spoken the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia. And from there they sailed to Antioch, where they had been commended to the grace of God for the work they had fulfilled. And when they arrived and gathered the church together, they declared all that God had done with them and how he had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles. And they remained no little time with the disciples. So the first few verses of this section are kind of talking about their last few locations that they hit as they were going through their missionary journey. And then it says in verse 26, and then they sailed back to Antioch. So they're going back to the church that sent them. And that's what we've done, right? We're going back to Fort Valley and telling you, hey, these are the things God did over the summer, right? And it said when they arrived, we gathered the church. So that's what we've done. We gathered all you, told you, hey, God is at work in Argentina in the way he's at work in Georgia. And then it says how he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. And so that's so huge, right? Because at this point, it was really just Jews, and they were sharing the gospel with Jews. And what was so big about Paul, he's sharing the gospel. He was sent to the Gentiles, something unheard of, right? And it's crazy because you go to Argentina, and you see the brokenness, you see the sin, you see the lives of Fernando and William and Kevin and Tamar, and you're like, these people are lost, like the people I know at home that are lost. Because it's a brokenness. It just sounds a little different. It's Spanish. But it's the same sin. And so when it says he had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles, in Romans 1 it says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation. And it says first to the Jews, then to the Greeks of the Gentiles. So it's basically saying everybody, right? It's everybody who believes in it. And as Jacob said, our charge, our kind of challenge to you is to continue doing what you did. So you supported us. We're thankful for it. We're coming back and saying, what you did, the support you gave, it bore fruit. You guys being faithful in your prayer and your giving, Lottie Moon offering, it has allowed us to go to other parts of the world and share the gospel. In Romans, it says here, right, that he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. Romans 10 says, faith comes through hearing, and hearing through the word of God, or the word of Christ. Not everyone's called to go to the far reaches, like ends of the earth, and bring the gospel. There are some of us who are just called to be here and support. And you guys have fulfilled that calling. You've allowed me to fulfill my calling. And for that, we're thankful. So, thank you so much.
Backstory. This song is called A Firm Foundation, and it's just an incredible song. There's a quote that I heard that said, God, we call to God when our foundations are shaking, only to realize that it's him who's shaking them when we're not focused on him. And I think that all of us should be founded on Christ, that we should make Christ our rock, that we should make Christ our focus, throughout life, because all of our plans, they fall short. We fail, you know. We go through different seasons. We change, you know, we fluctuate. But God is a constant, and he is constantly good. And I just encourage y'all to build your life, build your rock, build him, make him your rock. So, yeah. Christ is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand. When everything around me is shaking, I've never been more glad that I put my faith in Jesus, 'cause he's never let me down. He's faithful to generations. So why would he fail now? He won't. No, he won't. 'Cause I've still got joy in chaos. I've got peace that makes no sense. So I won't be going under. I'm not held by my own strength. I put my life on Jesus, 'cause he's never let me down. He's faithful through every season. So why would he fail now? He won't. No, he won't. He won't fail.
No, he won't.
There are lost people in Argentina. There are lost people here too. And we all need Jesus. We all need the gospel. And God wants to use us. I think we have supported missions. We need to go missions. And we need to do missions. The Lord said, I'm going to empower you with the Holy Spirit so you can be my witness in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. This is our Jerusalem. Right here. And we are not coming. We're going to bring the gospel. We're going to see the Holy Spirit, just like he worked in Buenos Aires, do it through our streets and our communities. Maybe you're here today and you have not trusted Christ as your personal Savior. Maybe you're here today and you would like to give your life to Christ today. Maybe you're here today. Maybe you grew up in church. Growing up in church is good, but knowing Christ is better. We know Christ. Our names are written in the book of life. Thank you very much, sons. We thank you. Maybe one day we'll have Dennis come and share too. When he was in BCM, he went to Barcelona. And so we are thankful for our boys. The Lord has blessed us, Rosie and I, greatly with these boys. It's just the power of the gospel. What God can do in a life. No father lost the 21. And look what God has done in our lives. He can do it in your life too. He is our firm foundation. He doesn't change. He's the same one yesterday, today, and forever. As our music invites us, I'm going to ask you to stand. Maybe you have a decision that you need to make. Melanie plays. If you want to make a decision today for the Lord, if you do not know God, maybe today is the day of salvation. Maybe you're looking for a church and you want to join this local body right here, First Church. We'd love to have you. Maybe you're not walking with the Lord and you want to come back today. The prodigal's coming back home. If you make a decision today, the Lord is right here. He's right here. Ask Brother Ken if you lead us in prayer, dismiss us in prayer, please.
For those of you that need to, may leave, I'm going to call the church into a short business meeting real quick for in order to possibly elect a new deacon.